Our scripture reading for this morning's service is going to be taken from Revelations chapter 21, verses 1 through 6. The new heaven and the new earth. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them, and they will be his peoples, and God himself will be with them and be their God. He will wipe every tear from their eyes. Death will be no more. Mourning and crying and pain will be no more, for the first things have passed away." And the one who was seated on the throne said, "See, I'm making all things new." Also he said, "Write this, for these words are trustworthy and true." Then he said to me, "It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To the thirsty I will give water as a gift from the spring of the water of life." The word of God for the people of God. Amen. Please stand, if you are able, for the reading of the gospel. Our gospel is going to be taken from John chapter 13, verses 31 through 35. When he had gone out, Jesus said, "Now the Son of Man has been glorified, and God has been glorified in him. If God has been glorified in him, God will also glorify him in himself, and will glorify him at once. Little children, I am with you only a little longer. You will look for me, and as I said to the Jews, so now I say to you, where I am going, you cannot come. I give you a new commandment, that you love one another, just as I have loved you. You also should love one another. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." This is the gospel of Christ.
Glory to you, Christ.
Amen. Please be seated.
This is one of the photos that was taken during my recent 2025 vacation in Seoul, South Korea. My wife and I were walking down the bustling street in Myeongdong, which is known as one of the most famous places that attract so many people from all over the world. Being one of the fans of BTS, which is a world-famous seven-member boy band from South Korea, my wife was delighted to have found this giant poster hanging on the wall of a shop. So we took this selfie photo. I remember 6 years ago, in 2019, my wife and I were privileged to attend a huge BTS US tour concert held at the Rose Bowl Stadium in Pasadena. Amazingly, the stadium was completely packed with 60,000 excited fans from everywhere, not only in US, but also across the world. Look at all the crowds. We enjoyed one of the two sold-out BTS concerts at the stadium, and later learned that these events were one of the largest attendance at the Rose Bowl, 120,000 members combined. The people attended combined. It was an amazing experience of being with so many music-loving people. Of course, most of them were young people. And before having attended this concert, whenever I heard about K-pop or K-music, I was kind of underestimating its impact to the world by dismissing or ignoring the music culture, new music culture. However, this concert proved me wrong. I was amazed that so many Americans and so many BTS fans joined from other countries at the concert. Yes, the power of K-pop has been influencing more than ever and gaining more fans and fevers than ever. I'm sure many of you have been hearing the phrases like K-pop, K-music, K-food, K-art, K-fashion, K-cosmetics, and many other K-something trends that are popular not only in the United States, but also in the whole world. Of course, the letter K stands for Korea. And there is even a K-culture museum at the Incheon Airport in Korea. And I didn't know, but my computer says today is International Museum Day. Okay. How about K-literature? South Korean author Han Gang won the 2024 Nobel Prize in Literature. Wow. She is the first South Korean writer and the first Asian woman to receive the Nobel Prize in Literature. Actually, Han is her last name and Gang is her first name. It in Korean is pronounced Gang, just like not Kang, right? Gang, just like Gangnam Style, right? Another K-pop, if you remember. Moreover, here is one example of a K-movie. As some of you remember, in 2020, a Korean movie entitled Parasite won 4 Academy Awards, Oscar, right, including the Best Picture. If you have not seen it, it's still available on Netflix. As some of you are always aware, there are hundreds of K-dramas on Netflix, too. Don't get me wrong, I'm not trying to promote Netflix or K-dramas. I enjoy watching K-dramas not only for entertainment, but also for healing. What I mean about healing is that sometimes watching these K-dramas can be therapeutic in relieving my stresses. Did you know that almost all the Netflix programs, especially K-dramas, are dubbed in English and/or with English and other multiple language subtitles. So even if you don't know Korean language, you can still enjoy K-dramas without any language problems. One of the interesting K-dramas I've been enjoying recently is entitled Heavenly Ever After. It's an ongoing comedy/fantasy series. This series centers around the unconventional reunion of an elderly woman and her deceased husband in heaven. Of course, it's a funny fiction and should not be taken literally or too seriously. Also, please be aware that even though term heaven is being used for this series, it's not necessarily met with traditional Christian perspectives only. Better yet, I find it delightful, insightful, and meaningful, especially because of its setting in heaven. The final episode will be streamed on May 25th, next Sunday, but I'm sure that whole 12 episodes will be available beyond that time. The topic of heaven seems to be always intriguing for many people, whether they are religious or not. They are indeed curious about the life after death, or the heavenly life. Speaking of heaven, this morning's scripture reading is also about heaven from the book of Revelation, given by the Revised Common Lectionary, along with the Gospel of John passage with the topic of love one another. The book of Revelation is the only apocalyptic book in the New Testament exclusively based only on the writer John's own unique visions and interpretation. As you know, any apocalyptic book should not be taken literally, yet it tells us significant meanings and messages. One of the important and interesting points from this passage is that verse 2, "And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God." The new heavens and new earth do not simply replace the old ones, but simply are redeemed. The holy city is not some place you go up, but it is coming down out of heaven from God. And here is verse 3. The verse 3 must be an angelic and heavenly voice. "See, the home of God is among mortals. He will dwell with them. They will be his peoples, and God himself will be with him and be their God." Yes, God himself is coming down to dwell with the people here. Yes, it's the same point as we always recite the Lord's Prayer, "Thy kingdom come." Moreover, the voice from the throne, yes, God's voice in verse 5, "See, I am making all things new." We have heard this proclamation of God many times, and many Bible scholars emphasize that God does not make all new things, but all things new. Let me repeat one more time. God does not make all new things, but all things new. In this sense, all our love and all our relationships with God and with people here and now will continue beyond our earthly life and throughout eternity in God's presence and God's embrace. Yes, just as shown in the drama Heavenly Ever After, all our love and relationships will be continuing forever. That's why in Galatians, Apostle Paul not only warns, but also encourages all believers with these words. The warning part begins with verse 7. "Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For you reap whatever you sow. If you sow to your own flesh, you will reap corruption from the flesh. But if you sow to the Spirit, you will reap eternal life from the Spirit." Then the encouragement parts are verses 9 and 10. "So let us not grow weary in doing what is right, for we will reap at harvest time if we do not give up. So then, whenever we have an opportunity, let us work for the good of all and especially for those of the family of faith." Yes, the phrase, "you reap whatever you sow," is a universal truth that signifies the connection in all life transitions, especially between life and death. So in this sense, it is extremely important for you to realize that your ultimate harvest time will not be any surprise at all. That's right, no surprise. John Wesley, the founder of Methodism, understood that your faith based on Methodism could begin and remain vital when it is built upon a good foundation. In 1742, Wesley wrote a treatise entitled "The Character of a Methodist," describing the features of a good foundation. By the way, my big thanks to Robert Phillips. Where are you? Okay, he's sitting right there. Organist, for having given me a gift of 3 books for Christmas, last Christmas. It's a collection of John Wesley's 3 important books, the Revised Versions in Modern English, published in 2020, The New Birth, The Character of a Methodist, and Christian Perfection. One of them is the book, The Character of a Methodist, a key word that Wesley was emphasizing in this good foundation is character. What is the character of a Methodist? The word character has multiple meanings and definitions. According to the Merriam-Webster online dictionary, character is one of the attributes of or features that make up and distinguish an individual. Yes, character is a person's usual qualities or trait. In our context, character is also defined as moral excellence and firmness. And there could be many, many descriptions of character, and character truly matters in human society and in all kinds of human relationships. These are honesty, integrity, compassion, empathy, courage, resilience, humility, selflessness, and many more. These character qualities are indeed Christ-likeness, and I believe this is what Apostle Paul means in Philippians. Let the same mind be in you that was in Christ Jesus. I believe that pursuing to have the same mind of Christ Jesus is also bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit. Moreover, Apostle Paul lists the fruit of the Holy Spirit in Galatians. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, generosity, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Yes, building a Christ-like character by bearing the fruit of the Holy Spirit for yourself is a lifelong journey. Steve Harper, a retired UMC pastor, based on this John Wesley's The Character of a Methodist, wrote the book entitled 5 Marks of a Methodist, The Fruit of a Living Faith, in 2015. From the book, he points out 5 marks of a Methodist. So, based on these 2 book resources, I'd like to share with you these 5 marks of a Methodist throughout my new sermon series of 7 sermons. And this morning's sermon is supposed to be an introduction, and which is supposed to be shorter than any other sermon part. So it's to be continued. I'd like to close my sermon with a Bible verse John Wesley quoted at the beginning of his book, The Character of a Methodist. It's Philippians 3:12. Let us all read together. Not that I have already obtained this, or I have already reached the goal, but I press on to lay hold of that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Amen. Thanks to be God. Amen.